Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Symphony Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Bhartia from Investec Capital Services India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhartia.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome on behalf of Investec India to the conference call of Symphony Limited. This is to discuss the outcome of the board meeting in respect of divestment and monetization of stake in Limeltech and IMMCO Mexico, sale of technology and intellectual property rights by GSK China to IMMCO, and ESG initiatives. We have with us the senior management team represented by Mr. Achal Vakheri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nrupesh Shah, Managing Director, Corporate Affairs, Mr. Amit Kumar, Group CEO and Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh Mishra, CEO, International Business. Now, I hand over the call to the management for initial comments and presentation. Thank you, and over to you.
This is Achal Vakheri here. A warm welcome to all participants on this afternoon to the Symphony conference call. We have some important updates which Aditya just spoke about. We have a presentation in that respect which my colleague Nrupesh Bhai will take you through. And as usual, the customary safe harbor rules apply. So over to Nrupesh Bhai.
Yeah. Thank you, Achal Bhai. And good evening to all participants. Thanks for connecting. So as announced earlier, we had a board meeting on last Saturday, and in this conference call, we are going to take you through these three outcomes of the board meeting. One is approval to explore divesting and monetizing stakes of Symphony India into Climate Technology Australia and IMMCO Mexico. So Symphony India has 100% equity stake in both the companies, and in turn, Climate Technology has also a step-down subsidiary based in the United States, and Climate Technology holds 100% stake in that. Second outcome is to sell the technology know-how and IPRs by GSK China to IMMCO Mexico for about $5.1 million, that is close to INR 43 crore. And finally, review of key ESG initiatives. So the first and foremost, the reason for divestment of Climate Technology, in fact, as many of the fund houses, analysts, and rightly so, were urging that in Climate Technology, there is a disproportionate capital deployed, and it is dragging the overall performance. And there was also a suggestion that in overseas subsidiaries, considering the overall performance, also might be taking management bandwidth and time when there are immense opportunities in India, especially with several initiatives which we have taken in the last two, 3 years, and also direct export market. So obviously, as known to all, Climate Technology is really dragging our return on capital employed, and due to a variety of reasons, it has not delivered and performed up to the mark so far. Of course, as guided earlier, we have succeeded in reducing its overheads to less than half vis-à-vis when we acquired, and we have also launched recently a series of new products as befitting to that market and also creating the marketing and distribution network, and has also converted it into an asset-light company. And we expect Climate Technology to turn around and do decently well down the line, as we have demonstrated successfully earlier, recently with GSK China and earlier with IMMCO Mexico. However, directly, indirectly, in Climate Technology Australia, the total capital employed is about 351 crore and figures as available in public domain and announced up to 31st December for trailing 12 months, its turnover was 167 crore with a negative EBITDA of 21 crore. Coming to IMCO Mexico, trailing 12 months up to 31st December, top line was 187 crore, EBITDA was 24 crore and its capital employed was 86 crore. However, in IMCO Mexico, normally on 31st December, there is the lowest capital employed. This is the capital employed as on that cutoff date. 31st March and 30th June is the highest capital employed, which hovers to around 125 crore. And both put together, as guided in this chart, the top line is 354 crore, EBITDA is 3 crore, and capital employed is 437 crore, translating into combined ROCE percentage, that is EBITDA to capital employed, 1%. So, if we remove these two companies, as it is shown on extremely right-hand side in the last column, the consolidated turnover will be 1164 crore and EBITDA will be 264 crore, while capital employed will be nearly 46 crore, translating into very high double digit EBITDA ROCE percentage on core capital employed. Another reason is sharpening management bandwidth and focus. Just show all the points. So by exiting from these two companies, it is to be kept in mind we are exiting from these overseas subsidiaries. But there will still be a strong possibility whereby Climate Technology and IMCO under new ownership may continue to procure the products from Symphony India as well as GSK China, particularly in climate technology, considering obvious benefits, especially with new geopolitical situation. There is also a possibility about the brand licensing arrangement in both the markets, as some of the products are sold under Symphony brand. Importantly, management bandwidth and time, especially of the top management, we wish to devote on highly growth-oriented and profitable segments in domestic market as well as potential overseas exports directly from India, especially to United States, Brazil, Europe and few other countries. And why we are saying so and why we have arrived at this conclusion? Because in last couple of years we have taken some major strategic initiatives whereby in last 5 quarters, our actual financial performance, especially in Symphony India as well as GSK China, it has been successfully demonstrated. And those initiatives include our entry into adjacent product categories, and they are tabletop cooling appliances as well as kitchen cooling solutions, both selling round the year. And have immense potential to grow profitably. Last year we have launched innovative storage water heater which is counter seasonal. Apart from that, in last 3 years through series of initiatives we have penetrated well in rural and semi-urban market and has a great scope, as well as there has been rapid rise in turnover through various digital initiatives and digital channel, which includes sales through D2C, e-commerce, as well as few other initiatives. And of course, this has been duly supported by very conducive summer. As far as USA market is concerned, it seems that current geopolitical may be once-in-lifetime opportunity because whether in US or in other global markets, our main competitors are Chinese player. Currently on China, the duty is about 145%. On India, it is 26%, assuming over a period of time. Duty from China rationalizes. But even if we have a decent arbitrage, even in that respect, Chinese players don't have that kind of profit margin. And even currently, as it is, we are competing well and we may have huge opportunity in that respect. And in last couple of weeks, we have also received some direct inquiries in that respect, of course, at very early stage. On top of it, in respect of direct exports from India, Symphony Brazil model, that is establishing a trading subsidiary and selling well, has also proved quite successful. So this is part one of the update. Part two is sale of technology know-how and 9 IPRs by GSK China to IMCO Mexico. So, over a period of last couple of years, GSK China developed the technology as well as IPRs, keeping in mind Mexican market and IMCO's product requirement. And in current situation, it has been deemed appropriate by GSK as well as IMCO Mexico to enter into this purchase and sale arrangement at arm's length price of about $5.1 million, that is ₹43.5 crore. These are the technologies and IPRs specially developed by GSK meant for IMCO Mexico. So, sale of this technology and IPR no way is going to impact performance of GSK China. We have fully evaluated, as well as GSK is quite confident that its current as well as future growth potential will remain unimpacted. IMCO Mexico is going to pay this consideration fully out of its internal accruals. And by the way, this transaction will also help in optimizing the valuation of IMCO Mexico. As far as GSK China is concerned, it will receive 43 crore and it doesn't need this fund either for its working capital or growth. Its current working and internal accruals are sufficient to take care of it. So net of taxes and expenses close to 40 crore, GSK China will use to repay the loan to Symphony India. Loan outstanding from GSK China to India was about 60 crore as on 1st April 24. Over last 12 months, close to 13 crore has been repaid and as of today, including interest accrued, the outstanding is 49.6 crore. So post completion of this transaction, the outstanding loan will be close to 10 crore, which we expect, considering GSK's strong performance, to be completely repaid down the line in few quarters out of its internal accruals. And by the way, end to end, this transaction is also quite tax efficient, fully complying with all the regulatory requirements, including transfer pricing guideline. And finally, some of the key ESG initiatives, because time to time board was taking stock of major ESG initiatives and it has been taken note that the governance structure is very robust, fully aligning with the best practices much above the regulatory requirements. Key committees, that is Audit Committee and NRC Committee, comprising fully of independent directors, each committee has 4 independent directors, and this is the status since long. 5 out of 9 directors on the board are independent directors, and 3, that is 1/3 directors, are women directors. As many of you may be aware, it has been the practice of Symphony that other than sales and purchase transactions between Symphony and subsidiary or inter-say among subsidiaries, as well as managerial remuneration, both of which are absolutely normal course of business, there is zero related party transactions. In addition to regulatory requirement, along with mandatory BRSR, since 23-24, Symphony is publishing the integrated annual report, providing comprehensive view of ESG initiatives and performance in line with the best global practice. Again, for better transparency and governance, more than 25 ESG policies are in public domain, again in line with the best global practices. And our product per se itself is environment friendly, and management of environmentally footprint through periodical life cycle assessment of the products is also being done quite systematically and ultimately helping in also optimizing the commercial performance. Symphony has for 3 consecutive years, including current year, received the certificate for Great Place to Work, and every time with improved scoring. And this is also evident by industry-leading improvements in ESG score by independent external ESG rating agencies. So thank you. And with this, we are open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from line of Shraddha Kapadia from SMIFS Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to ask the question. So my first question would be with regards to the ROC. So post this transaction, you have highlighted that there will be a huge ramp up in the ROC which is expected. So is there any internal target which has for ROC for FY26?
Yeah, so obviously there are internal targets not only for ROC, but also for the top line, bottom line, including for respective product and sub-product and also geographically. But again, as per our IR policy, they are not in public domain.
Okay, sir. Also, if you could share...
But what we have indicated in the presentation, as it is, where it is, as on 31st December, based on trailing 12 months, the ROCE on the core capital employed, assuming Citi Australia and IMCO are not there, it would have been 583%, and that too considering EBITDA of 250 crore on standalone basis as on 31st December for trailing 12 months.
Okay.
All these are actual numbers, historical numbers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Also, if you could just help with, you know, like we are now majorly focusing on India, US, Brazil, which is there. So is there any expected revenue share which we expect the international markets to reach in a year or something?
Yeah, Achal bhai.
So, look, we really haven't set a target for that, but we believe that considering that as of now with CT and IMCO are not there, the revenue from international would be significantly reduced. So the upside is going to be much higher in terms of percentage. And with the opportunities that have presented themselves in the U.S., this could be a really big upside. And in Brazil also, it's a very large market, and which in the last 2-3 years we have been able to grow in, and we expect to continue to grow in that market. So I think collectively all these markets will do present huge opportunities. I would not put a number to it, but as we go along the way, the numbers will sort of present themselves.
And conveyed in the presentation and over you, we are not ruling out the possibility that Co as well as climate technology, even under new ownership, may like to continue sourcing of the products as it is currently being done from India due to obvious advantages, apart from maybe a possibility of Symphony brand licensing in these two territories. So what we are trying to convey is, maybe we are exiting from these two companies, not necessary from these two territories.
Okay, sure. Got it, sir. That was helpful. Also, if you could just highlight the bonus. Yeah.
Can I? For a follow-up question.
Okay, sure. No issues. Okay.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Aditya Bhartia. Please go ahead. Aditya, may I request to unmute and proceed with your question, please?
Hello, am I audible?
Go ahead, yes.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So just a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, wanted to understand at what stage are we in terms of monetizing stake in these subsidiaries? Have we initiated the process, or is it a thought that we are having at this stage that this is something we should be doing? And the process would get initiated and could take a few months to get consummated?
Let me answer that. So, obviously, this decision we have arrived at after extensive discussion and deliberations, considering all the aspects as to what is in the best interest of the company as well as shareholders. And that deliberation has taken place over a period of several months, and then it has come to the board for its final approval. So before putting to the board, obviously we had also done the beauty parade of several IB bankers, and now IB banker has been already decided, and their terms of references, including the milestone in terms of the time frame of various steps, as well as their commercials, have been also decided. So by the time of appointment of IB banker, they have also informally got some sense from the likely buyers. And based on that, we have finalized that. So I would say that now formal process will begin, and whatever time it takes to conclude the process.
Understood. But we have already had some very preliminary discussions with prospective buyers. That has happened.
So I won't exactly answer that, because you will appreciate that in such M&A deal, these are very, very delicate issues. But as I highlighted, there has been some decent sense from the investment banker, and accordingly we are going ahead.
Perfect, perfect, sir. And sir, given that you kind of highlighted that markets of US or Brazil can still offer you compelling growth drivers, just wanted to understand, could there be some non-compete agreements that you may have to enter into, especially when you are selling climate tech, given that it has presence in the US?
Yeah. Achal bhai, over to you.
Yeah. Okay, that is a little too premature to gauge at this point, Aditya. It all depends on how the negotiation unfolds, you know, with the potential or prospective buyers. One never knows, you know, how this is going to develop. So we'll try and retain the opportunity to sell in those markets. But let's see how things evolve. Even if we cannot sell under the Symphony brand, there is nothing preventing, no non-compete would prevent us from selling to other customers or retailers in that market who will import from us directly from India.
Sure, fair point, sir. And just one last question. We were seeing Symphony as a company that was targeting overall air cooler market globally. Now we want to be centered a lot more to Indian markets. What are the additional road drivers
Aditya, I'll correct you there. That is not at all the thought here. Nothing changes as far as Symphony is concerned. You know, we will still continue to pursue opportunities internationally. As Lopesh bhai said, we are only exiting from these two countries. And at the very worst, let's say there is a non-compete which you alluded to. At the very worst, we are exiting from those two markets. And they are not the biggest markets in the world, you know. So we are then focusing on markets which are much bigger than both Australia and Mexico, which are namely the US and Brazil. So we are in no way at all defocusing from the international markets. But the way we'll address those markets has changed. Rather than having, you know, subsidiaries, or rather manufacturing presence there, we'll pursue the export route. And if required to grow in a category, in a country, if you have to establish a subsidiary merely like a trading subsidiary, as we have done in Brazil, then we will do that. But under no circumstances are we taking the eye off the international market. You know, we are absolutely going to pursue that.
It will help us put our management bandwidth in a more focused manner on some of the larger global growth markets, including US, Brazil, and some more. So this is just making sure that our bandwidth is at the right place where we are seeing larger growth opportunities.
So it is management bandwidth time as well as much better capital efficiency.
And also very profitable opportunities. Also, let me also add, these are all going to be profitable opportunities, more profitable opportunities. And especially, you know, with the current tariff situation emerging, the opportunities that have presented themselves or have come knocking on our door in the US market could be enormous.
Perfect, sir. That makes it very clear. But does that also mean that we will be becoming more aggressive and more focused on India growth opportunities? We could look at opportunities beyond our existing product categories and start looking at Symphony in a slightly kind of larger manner?
That too, of course. And we have, you know, sort of demonstrated that as well, you know, with the introduction of water heaters, which are not really an adjacency. They are sort of counter-seasonal. And the adjacent categories of, you know, tower fans and our tabletop range that we've launched about a year ago. So we are certainly diversifying the basket of products for the Indian market while pursuing opportunities for coolers internationally.
Perfect, sir. That's very, very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen, and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, good evening.
And I'll start with what Aditya was referring to. You know, in terms of, you know, now that you all have decided to, you know, exit Mexico and Australian entities, you talked about the markets that you wanted to focus, and you specifically spelled out US and Brazil. I want to know, to start with, which are the other markets that you all are targeting? So we have Brazil, we have US. Which are the other couple of markets that you all are targeting? And the size of this opportunity, you know, maybe you could talk about the markets of US or Brazil or some of the other countries that you all are targeting. What is the size of that? So that's the first question.
Over to you, HLV.
So the other market, the other markets that we are not only pursuing, but we are already in are, you know, major markets are the Middle East, parts of Europe, and parts of Southeast Asia, and of course Africa. So that covers the whole world. So we are in various markets. Now the biggest, of course, the big markets are Brazil and the US. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't have the exact numbers for these markets, but you know, I would say that, you know, the largest market, you know, domestic market in the world for coolers is India. It's followed by China, and the third largest is the US, and the fourth largest is Brazil. So these are the four largest markets for coolers in the world.
Okay. And GSK China has registered a strong growth momentum with decent profitability. So that addresses China domestic market as well as Southeast Asia.
Correct.
And of course, we have representatives, we have people on our payroll in three different countries in Europe. So we are sort of working on growing those markets as well.
Sure. Now, you know, second question is actually related to China. Now, you know, China is mainly serving the Mexican market, and, you know, these IPRs which were developed were now obviously are being transferred to, you know, that entity. Now, after that happens, I'm just trying to think, you know, the Chinese entity, how much of that sales will be a domestic sales and how much of that would essentially go towards Mexico? And if these IPRs were to go out, does it impact the, you know, the revenue potential of GSK?
No. GSK's, you know, about, let's say, mota-mota half the sale comes from international and half domestic China.
Okay.
And of the half international, a very small percentage comes from China, from Mexico.
Okay.
A significant amount is exported across the world. So it isn't as if it is dependent on the Mexican business.
Okay.
To continue its operations. It is not. However, as mentioned by Lupeshwai, you know, even post this transaction, there is a possibility that the new owners might want to continue to source from GSK China and from India, from Symphony in India, you know, because we have the products and which are, you know, which have been doing very well in those markets. So there is no saying that that's not going to happen. So, you know, we're exiting from those companies, not necessarily from those markets. So if not one way, you know, one way or the other, we will also be present in those markets. As far as the IP is concerned, you know, those IPs are really relevant for the Mexican market. So for Mexican market. So, you know, by transferring those IPs, again, you know, it really doesn't affect China whatsoever, GSK China whatsoever.
And again, as outlined in presentation, as said, GSK China owns 51 IPRs, out of which only relevant to Mexico. And as IMCO and GSK deem appropriate, only 9 IPRs are being bought out. plus technology. So it's very much going to retain 42 IPRs, and such as not even a fraction of the percentage of its current or future performance will be anyway adversely impacted. In fact, this transaction will help in multifaceted way, in the sense IMCO Mexico will be more valuable in terms of the monetization. GSK China is getting these funds, whereby loan to Symphony India will be repaid and its annual interest outflow of about 3 crore will be saved. And in the process, GSK China will be almost like down the line in line with Symphony India in terms of the capital efficacy. So that's what we wanted to highlight.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's helpful. Now, you know, the next question is on, you know, the very purpose of selling Mexico and Australia. I thought these companies were, you know, on the way to turn around. I think obviously Mexico was doing well. I think in the last couple of years, you've spent a lot of time and energy to turn around some of these businesses. So why sell or divest now, and why not wait for turnaround? I thought we were not very far from turning around these entities.
No. See, you know, first of all, IMCO has long ago been turned around. As the numbers will you know, have demonstrate themselves, prove themselves. So IMCO is, IMCO's turnaround happened 10 years ago. You know, so China's turnaround happened more recently. Australia's turnaround is, you know, is sort of on the cards. It's going to sort of another couple of years to turn around. But considering, you know, the exposure at in Australia, considering the capital employed over there, you know, even its turnaround will take a while for it to become, you know, ROC healthy, you know. So it is going to be, that is still a sort of a, you know, a more time-consuming process. So while, you know, there are other opportunities that have come our way, so we felt that maybe it's a good time to, you know, pursue those opportunities rather than, you know, continue the path of turning climatic around. And you know, although that's all certainty, but it is going to take a little more time than you know, than we would like.
Okay.
It should have happened earlier. It would have happened much earlier were it really not for two factors which impacted Australia. One was COVID, of course. That, you know, COVID sort of parts of Australia had the longest lockdown in the world. Melbourne was closed for 270 days. That had a huge impact on our business. As a result of that, the Australian economy sort of, you know, took a hit. Many of our major customers, you know, and our products go to the real estate market. Many of our major customers who were real estate developers have gone bust. So our business sort of shrank. On top of that, you know, more than half of our sales in Australia came from gas ducted heaters. And now the major market in Australia is in the state of Victoria, which has put a ban on gas fueled products. So the bottom has also dropped out of the gas ducted heating business. So all in all, you know, we've been sort of unfortunate with a series of events which have you know, prevented the turnaround from happening earlier. And while that happened, you know, and in the process, our sort of, we kept on bleeding, and the capital that employed over there just kept on increasing. So I think it's about time that we sort of turn our attention to bigger and better opportunities.
Thanks. Sir, and my last question before I get back in the queue is on the domestic business. Now, you talked about management bandwidth. Logical extension for, you know, air cooling companies would be, you know, getting into fans or getting into room air conditioning, which I believe you have it in Mexican entity. Any thoughts on which are the areas where you are planning to focus, you know, where you see more growth? Very briefly, if you can talk about that. Thank you.
Rahul, as of now, you know, we have got into the products that we felt there was immediate opportunity. While we are constantly scanning for opportunities, we haven't really zeroed in on anything, but we are constantly exploring.
Okay, fine. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question is from line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad H. Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
So my question is regarding the U.S. sales. What is the U.S. sales number currently? And are we back on track? I mean, last two summers back, I think we had some 200 odd crores of sales. Are we on that track or still not?
No. As of today, for the current year or something, you know, we're not expecting, you know, all of that to happen. This is what we are talking about is for the next summer in the U.S. and the summers thereafter. So the U.S. business is still at a few million dollars. So I won't say that we are back on track, but we see the opportunities which have suddenly emerged in the last, few weeks.
Okay. And one last question is, what was the source? I mean, where are we sourcing from for U.S. sales? Is it India or China?
From both, from India, from China, from Mexico. Products are, going from all the three subsidiaries and imports from some, you know, third party vendors in China. So it's going from sources.
Yeah, but what we are trying to say, henceforth, considering the unique geopolitical situation, there are immense and great opportunities emerging, obviously because of the advantage to directly export from India.
In a worse situation, are we even looking at setting up a manufacturing plant in US, say if nothing works out with Trump, even for, say, India or China? Then are we looking at setting up a manufacturing plant in U.S.? I mean, are we even thinking of that?
Necessary. We can. No. That wouldn't even be necessary because we can continue. We can export. No, Ashad bhai, we can export from India.
No, the reason being, see, in any case, tariff on India is not going to be higher than tariff on China, and certainly, even if 145% tariff doesn't continue on China, say it theoretically reduces, there is such an arbitrage just by tariff, and the Chinese players don't have that kind of margin. So they will find extremely difficult to compete just price-wise. So it doesn't need that. And still end-to-end, whatever tariff we end up with, 26% or lower or zero, still end-to-end, we will be far more competitive.
Got it. And one last question, sir, if you permit me. In all this restructuring, is there any losses that we are taking? And if we are taking, is it this quarter or next quarter?
Where this question is. So, currently, our total equity investment in IMCO Mexico, INR wise, is less than 3 crore. Because originally we had bought IMCO Mexico at $6.5 lakh. Other than that, there is zero investment by Symphony, direct, indirect. About IMCO Mexico, we expect decent valuation and monetization. As far as climate technology is concerned, of course, currently it's not doing well, but wherever any business is sold or available to buy, there are several parameters that includes products available, brands available, team, market access, as well as the kind of the work we have done and the future prospects and potential. So based on that, we expect appropriate valuation for Climate Technology Australia too. So I think that's how we will like to see, and we get some feeling also that if these two geographies are available, there may be some interested buyers to have a combo deal.
Got it, sir. Thank you for clarifying, and good luck for you, sir.
Yeah, also to add to that, as far as Australia is concerned, you know, historically we were playing only in the coolers and the gas ducted heating space. So cooling and heating combined, the market in Australia is just a couple of $100 million. Now that we have ventured into air conditioning and into reverse ducted cycle air conditioning, into heating and into fans, we are now, or CT is playing in a multi-billion dollar market. You know, we're talking about some $6-7 billion market that it is playing in. So in fact, the prospects for CT or for any new owners are huge. We have done all the cleaning up, all the hard work, and now it's a time when, you know, anyone can sort of reap the benefit. It's just sort of, you know, done the transformation, all that is all over with there. Now they only, whoever the new buyer only has to build the business. So there will be, you know, decent valuation, again, we do not know what was the rationale behind your question of booking a loss, that possibility, sort of we don't foresee that happening.
Sure, sir, I got it. Thank you. Thanks for clarification and good luck for future.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathaway Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Just wanted a couple of questions. One was on CT Australia. The slide 5 of your presentation says that you have invested 351 crores in CT Australia. Equity was around 182 crores. The balance is loans and guarantees for the loans, or what is it?
No, so my asterisk, it says direct indirect exposure. So 351 is inclusive of our capital investment, loan granted by Symphony India, as well as its borrowing. Because ultimately it's borrowing. We being a holding company, we need to consider that also. And that borrowing includes acquisition loan, which is currently $10 million, as well as some working capital loan. So that's how, and it has been clarified also below the table.
Yeah. Secondly, I can understand the logic of selling CT Australia. I couldn't quite comprehend the logic of selling PIMCO Mexico, because that is giving you a good ROC. I presume that it is more to do with setting off the one against the other in order to make sure that you don't lose money, I presume. Am I right in that assumption?
No, we expect to make money in both the deals.
Fantastic. Then just one question. The money that you would get, because the total investment in both these companies put together, capital employed, what you have shown, is around 437 crores. So if you are making money in that, then you would be getting more than 437 crores in your kitty. What do you see that being used for going forward?
You know, our business model remains the same. It's a capital-light, asset-light business model. So, you know, so we, and again, if there's certainly no acquisitions on the horizon, and we are not even going to be pursuing route at all. You know, whatever we need, international growth will come by direct exports from India. And if at all, like I said before, we'll establish a trading subsidiary in a certain geography. But other than that, we will have no use for that capital.
Okay, so that it can be ROC negative going forward?
No, it need not be ROC negative. You would have observed that we have a stated payout policy whereby at least 60% of the PAT is to be distributed, and in reality, I think in last 10 years, our payout is more than 80% out of PAT. So, and in between we have resorted to buyback, we have resorted to special dividend. So if we don't need the capital, obviously those revenues are there. That's number one. And number two, at no stage, none of we are saying or committing any numbers in any respect. Obviously, disclaimer statement applies, because you will appreciate that the process has begun. We have some feelers, we have some indications, but once it is fully wrapped up, we will come to know the precise number and details. So just as a cautionary statement.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Anyway, going to impact anything. The reason being, finally, apart from this, currently Symphony India is sitting on a treasury of 600 crore. So the worst scenario, assuming everything else we have to write off, I am saying everything else, still it doesn't change anything, right? Whatever is going to be merely an accounting adjustment and entry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Mayur from Wealth Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes,
you are audible, loud and clear.
Yes, yes, sir. So, sir, first, congratulations to the entire team of Symphony, Achal Bhai, Nupesh Bhai. And you actually took us by surprise in the last call. I remember you asking about city or state, and we didn't know it was around the corner so soon. So anyway, it was a very good move from the management standpoint.
Neither did we, Mayur. Neither did we.
No. I purely understand, sir. Otherwise, we have not had such a candid discussion there. but it was a very well thought out move, and I'm sure. And great congratulations. After a long time, it was overdue. So the management deserves all the full credit. And more importantly, the fact that you just highlighted that we are going to make money on both the deals. At least it will be positive. Sometimes we don't...
No, Mayur, we have not said anything like that. Mayur, we have not said
expectation,
anything...
Okay, expectation to make both the deals positive.
Yes, yes. Our expectation is to make 1,000 crores. Now, doesn't mean that we will make 1,000 crores.
I understand. I'll be more selective in the words. I understand, sir. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't put words in our mouth.
No, sir. I expect. So, sir, actually, keeping this in perspective, first, a very small clarification from Nupesh Bhai. We say Mexico had 86 crores of capital employed. This is all, I believe, would be cash largely which is sitting, right? Because from that only 43 crores will be paid out, right?
Yeah, so Mayur Bhai, this 86 crore is as on 31st December, and there it is a working capital oriented business, and this 43 crore of repayment we expect to happen in next 2 to 3 quarters. So one out of internal accruals, which is already and expected to be very healthy, and secondly we have IMCO. In fact, IMCO has worked out the plan to squeeze its working capital. Currently, partly it is in cash, small amount, but mainly in working capital to fuel its growth. So basically, its working capital will be squeezed. And its internal accrual.
Was there any kind of restriction of regulatory-wise to declare dividend from IMCO when it was a cash flow positive business? So over these years, just to understand, over a slightly longish term, were there any kind of restrictions from Mexico situation country was it not tax efficient?
That's right, it was not tax efficient.
Okay. So this current situation also helps us to get that in place and make it more tax efficient way.
Yes, by complying all the tax laws and transfer price line and being multi-purposes.
So, sir, I'll focus my question more on the opportunities which are there. So, we spoke very candidly about the U.S. market. U.S. market is close to 4,000 crore for air coolers. We have been knowing this for last many years now, and fortunately little bit growing at whatever small percentage possible, it's not shrinking. Theoretically, I understand we tried to address that market through whether it was even Mexico was could have been all these years and a good potential to supply to US markets. While there may be certain products which may not be there suitable there, but it would have been possible whether Mexico, whether Australia, we have trend, whether China. What do you believe has actually changed in the current scenario, apart from the fact of tariffs and the regulatory situation? What do you believe has changed for us to be able to address the US market now a little more attractively than all these years? That is the first. And secondly, competitive situation, relative competitive environment for us, how does it how it is? Does US import a lot of air coolers? Does it domestically procure orders? And within that, the players wise, it is more all large retail malls driven. So from a competitive situation and supply sourcing, what is it that gives us a right to increase our business in US now compared to where we were in the last couple of years?
That's a valid question, Mayur. But all this while, it was really, there are like 1,000 different manufacturers of air coolers in China. So locally China and export out of China, it's extremely competitive. And they were the sort of dominating the US market. There are some players in the US which manufacture 2-3 players in the US, but they produce much larger, smaller volumes and very large coolers. So not really the kind which dominates the market. So all these while it was sort of difficult to sort of compete with those Chinese players, and there was no consistency because these buyers are, like you rightly said, these large retailers like Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart, and there is no sort of loyalty. Every year they shop around for a different supplier, and they will they bought from us for 2-3 years, and then they sort of opted for some other vendor. Now with China at these current tariff rates, or even if the tariff is a little lower, there'll be we expect that the tariff really significantly higher than the tariff on India. China is out of the equation as far as coolers is concerned. So that is what has changed. Really speaking, as far as the US market is concerned, that is what has changed. And nothing else.
I believe Symphony is one of the few players in India, at least, which has mastered the low electricity intensity with fan-based coolers. So when we see the, over these many years, what we see is one of the competitive advantage. And US has a lot of fan-based. Will that be a right way to look at?
I didn't quite understand your question. US is a what?
No,
lot of
in terms of product which gets sold in US, the technology wise it is advanced. Yeah. It is from a product perspective, they use a lot of fan. We are unlike a blower technology, right? So and we have those products.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, sir, wish you all the best and hope to see more and more good numbers. Just one perspective from the investor side. Please take this as a well-wisher's feedback and not as a negative comment or anything. For when we look at Symphony as very long-term investment opportunities, the key for investor is the growth element and not the efficiency element as much, because as Nupresh Bhai has always been hammering to us over the last 25, 30 quarters that the ROC is infinite and it is well placed, and you have also been master of ROC. So for us, ROC has never been the concern. For us, capital allocation has never been a concern. The key aspect we look at is Symphony as a growth, which has been the key aspect, which for some few years bearing the strong summer season, sometimes it lacks. So we hope that that comes in place with all the restructuring and new focus. We also hope some new talent pool and young blood comes in the picture. Not that the old is always gold, but just to add on to that and takes up the more responsibility and drives the growth element. So the growth is the missing puzzle in that area, and we hope with all this you are able to address that in a consistent and meaningful manner, sir. Wish you all the best and thank you.
No, absolutely, Mayur. You're absolutely right. And that growth is being driven, by our young colleagues. One, Amit Kumar, who is on the call as well, who is the group CEO and executive director, who is currently focusing more on the India business. And, he's demonstrated very good growth, as you have seen in the past, in the last few quarters. And then there is Rajesh Mishra, who is right here with me. He heads the international, all the revenue outside of India is something that he has been spearheading, and he's also doing tremendous work and has demonstrated great results. So between the two of them, Amit Kumar is in his mid-40s, Rajesh is around 50, so they are significantly younger than the old guard, as you rightly said. So they are the ones with all the energy, the drive, the zeal and all of that. So they are the ones who are taking this company, propelling this company forward.
Yes, sir. Wish you all the best. And for Mr. Rajesh Mishra, we want to put a 50% CAGR for the next 5 years as a target in international markets. Thank you.
Rajesh is here. I am asking Rajesh.
And that is what I'm saying. I hope he is hearing that. And this is without excluding the sales of City.
So, Mayur, we will invite you every time in our budget meeting and review meeting. It is very helpful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Nishal.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from line of Vineet Prasad from Investor Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, just one question from my end. If you can give a number as to what is the proportion of exports out of China and India business to IMCO and Australia?
Does anybody have numbers over there?
So broadly from India, export to... So say here we have 1065 top line of Symphony standalone of trailing 12 months as on 31st December. Out of this export to IMCO and Australia won't be more than 3-4%. I'm saying indicative figure. I have to see the exact figures, but about 3-4%.
Okay. We had shifted quite a bit of production from Australia to India. So would that also be a part of it? So, wouldn't the number be higher?
No, so as on 31st December, this is how it will be. And I think your next question was about GSK China. So in GSK China, out of 86, it might be about 20%.
Understood.
And like we said earlier, Vineet, that it is quite possible that can continue even under new ownership, because we are still offering products which sell very well over there.
That most likely will
continue.
There won't be any better option for a new buyer than continuing to buy from GSK China.
Correct.
So in one sense, we will have our cake and eat it too.
And also very important point to note is that most of the retailers in this market like continuity. So for that reason also, the new buyer may not want to, it will be too risky for them to
change
the product line overnight. And so it will take at least 2-3 years before this thing even kind of starts.
If at all.
If at all.
GSK China may serve good purpose for Australia and for Mexico Symphony India, coupled with GSK China may serve good purpose.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. That was the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, dear participants. I think your questions have given us a lot of food for thought and have also, with Amit Kumar and Rajesh Mishra nodding their heads and giving their commitment to Mayur's sort of suggestions. So I think you've done our job for us. So I would like to thank you for that as well. So, well, all the best. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Investec Capital Services India Private Limited and Symphony Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.